I am sitting here this morning because Pastor Matt is at home. He hurt himself and he does not know how, but he has a pinched nerve in his neck. I'm not kidding. It is not April Fool's Day. He is not feeling well. For those of you that follow him on Facebook, you may have seen his comment about looking for a neck traction device. I think he has located one perhaps, but we need to be praying for him and thinking of him. I'm hopeful that certainly, Matt, that you will be feeling well sooner than later. But this morning, he will not be here with us, but in the midst of many of the new things that we have been doing each and every week, we will be doing something new this morning as well. This morning, we are going to have the opportunity to hear from Matt as he talks about Psalm 1. And so as we take a look at that, we are going to roll the clock back a couple years. And at his former church in Davis, California, he shared a message that was going to be very similar to what he is sharing with us this morning that we will hear. One thing to note in the message, he will allude to the sermon series called The Story. We are not in the story. We are in the Psalms for now sermon series, so don't worry about that. The other thing he will talk about is during the next 9 months, challenging yourself to do something out of the ordinary, to take something on that can really increase the growth that you have in Christ. Our encouragement to you is that as we are heading into summer, that from now through summer, you would think about taking on reading scripture more and allowing it to speak into your life. And as you will see, as we hear from Matt in just a little bit, that when we allow those words to soak into our lives and our hearts and in our minds, they can transform who we are. So let's take this time now to hear from Pastor Matt.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Aren't you always intrigued? I pop out with some prop. What is it gonna... In my garage, there's a shelf up in where the kids can't reach it that has all sorts of chemicals in it. And they're all chemicals that pertain to the life of plants, you know, whatever it may be. There's some things which are kind of like snail bait or ant poison or things like that to protect the crops. There are fertilizers like ironite, things like that to kind of green up certain plants. There is Miracle-Gro that you mix with water and then it helps a plant to grow and to flourish. And in addition to these fertilizers and these kind of things for bugs, there's also something called Roundup. And what does Roundup do? But it brings death, right? Roundup is this glorious chemical that many of you might not use because you're organic gardeners. But for me, there's weeds that just spring up on this path in my backyard, and they are just the bane of my existence. And so Roundup is a wonderful thing. You mix it in the water, you pump in the thing, and you can spray it on the weeds, and they die. And they go away, and they stop taking over your yard. And so it's fascinating that plants, that the same kind of thing this plant is one of the plants in my office that has not yet died. And if I was to pour something like this concoction, water with just a little bit of Miracle-Gro on it, conceivably, it would help it to grow and to flourish and to have life. But this one over here, I just put just a few drops of the Roundup mixture in. And if I was to routinely pour this on the plant, it would die. Now the psalm that we're going to study today, Psalm 1, likens us to plants. It compares us as human beings to plants, and it says that what we soak in, that what we absorb into ourselves will either bring greater life to us, or it will bring death. And it urges us to choose wisely what it is that we soak into our souls. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we just thank you for your word. And as we pause to study what your word says about your word, we pray that you would open us to hear from you, that you would lead us, that you would challenge us. Holy God, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 1. These sections will also come up on the screen. We begin today, we are in a series in January in preparation for this story. We're gonna spend about 8 months together walking through the Bible using the story. And when we say that it's an abridged form of the Bible, we don't mean it's like a paraphrase. It's actual scripture. We're just reading the New International Version of the Bible arranged chronologically with some short connector sections to help you understand how the narratives, the stories kind of join together. So it's going to be this walk through the Bible together, an understanding of the story of the Word of God as a whole. And in preparation for that, we begin that in February, and so in preparation for that, for the month of January, we're studying just what is the Bible itself? What is the Word of God, and how does it function in our lives? So we're using a number of the metaphors that the Bible uses to talk about the Bible. And today we look at Psalm 1 and this imagery that's given to us. The first word in this psalm, and this is the very first psalm, the beginning of the psalter, it starts off saying, blessed. Blessed is the one. The word blessed can also mean, many of your translations might say happy. And that is a meaning of the word. There's a certain happiness that comes from what we're about to read. There's a certain happiness, a blessedness, a state of being in the favor of God and walking in the ways of God and kind of encountering the natural favor that comes from walking the ways of God from what we're about to read. Blessed. There's a blessing on the one who. And then it gives us some things that the blessed one does not do and the blessed one does. And if we're people who want to walk in that blessing, then we should pay very close attention to this. It says, blessed is the one. It begins with who does not. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. The word wicked there can also mean criminal. This is someone who's got a sort of a perverse morality that's willing to compromise, that's willing to do evil things, wrong things, cut corners as a way to gain. Not averse to plotting against other people. And someone who would be walking in step with them would meaning that they're walking along the path and you're a companion of the wicked. And so you're walking along and you're in step and you're discussing along the way. And maybe you're hearing the plottings of the wicked as they're discussing their schemes. And that's something that you're around, that you're absorbing as you're walking in step with the wicked. It's like drinking poison. No, this is fertilizer. It looks like poison. It's the one that's hard to recognize. This looks just like water, but this is poison. And the one who's blessed would not be walking in step with the wicked. There's three of these that all essentially mean the same thing, but they flesh out the picture. Or stand in the way that sinners take. The word sinner there is someone who would break the law of God, who's they're not primarily steered by the law of God, but by their own desires, and they're willing to break the law of God. And if you're standing in the same way that they go, that's the company that you keep. And so you're absorbing that into yourself. And then finally, who sit around in some social circle, who sit in the company of scoffers or mockers, people who are, spending their time just guffawing at sacred things or at people and scoffing and mocking, like, that's the company that you keep. It's poison to you. Whether you're sitting or standing or walking, if you're the company that you keep will influence who you are and affect that state of blessedness or non-blessedness. Now, 3,000 years ago, when these psalms were written, the only real way of encountering influence from people was to be with them. Very few people were able to read and write, and they could have some influence that way. But the vast majority of human experience of other people would be to sit, stand, or walk with them. And that's the way in which people would influence one another. Today, things are very, very different. We have hundreds of ways of being influenced by other people through forms of media. I'd like to kind of share a little bit about that with you. But first, think about just the way that we all have our own experiences of being influenced by people. I remember as a high school student, I had this observation. There was sort of a seasonal variation to people that I spent time with, depending on like sports seasons and summer break and things like that. And I found myself, my own behavior changing depending on the time of year. And I made this actual observation, right? I noticed that in the late summer and fall, I was with my football team all the time, like 24/7, you know, sometimes sunrise to sundown, I was with my football team, and I found myself cursing like a sailor, often in Spanish. And I was just like, the people that I was with all the time, I mean, that's what we did. I was like, wow, where is this coming from in me? Like, my parents were like, where did you learn that word? And then I found myself in kind of the early summer, like a lot of like Christian camps and like with my Christian friends. And you think that behavior would be better, right? No, but I found that in high school, when I was with my church friends, I found myself setting things on fire and blowing things up all the time. I don't know. That was just a group of friends I happened to be with that were at my church. That's what we did. And then I was with my AP friends, advanced placement courses in school. When I'd be there, particularly kind of like, you know, winter, spring, as we're coming up to that AP test, I was with those friends, I found myself studying all the time, and late night studying, working really hard to learn and grow. And I realized that the main thing there was just that the company that I was keeping had massive influence on me, and behavior just popped out of me. Simply, I was just emulating what was around me. Don't you praise God that now that you are a grown-up, you are immune to influence? Yeah? I mean, you used to be a young and impressionable mind, but now you are an invincible fortress of steadfastness, and you cannot be influenced. Am I right? Am I right? I'm not right? No, because we are influenced now, and it's just sort of a myth that we somehow arrive at some state of invincibility to that. And we're not like the situation 3,000 years ago where it was just kind of in-person influence. We need to recognize that actually we are influenced all of the time. There's all sorts of ways in which we are influenced simply through forms of media, which is all it is just another form for people to influence. I'll give you some examples. Talk radio. How many people ever listen to talk radio? Okay? Wow, look at that. Talk radio. This is a 24/7 anger and opinions about anything under the sun. Music. We listen to music, and even if we say that we're not really listening to the lyrics, we subconsciously soak music into us as they talk about love, hate, money, sex, and how rich and famous and good-looking the singer is. Perhaps sometimes we listen to how sad Adele is at her most recent breakup, or how sorry Justin Bieber is, even though it's too late for him to say so. We watch movies and television that tell compelling stories. We see advertisements. Recent research has shown that the average American adult encounters how many ads per day? What do you think? Someone throw out a number. Three ads per day? You must have a TiVo. Anybody? 5,000. Over 5,000 ads a day. Now, that's not all television commercials like what you might be thinking. Every time you see a logo, you know, in a blank space, billboards that you drive by, you know, some little ad on the side of the newspaper, you're looking at something on the internet and something's flashing off in the side, kind of entering your subconscious brain. Over 5,000 advertisements encounter your brain per day. And some of these are from paid celebrities whom you trust, who research says that you trust. The companies will hire the celebrities to cash in that trust and change it into your desire to buy a product. And so thousands of messages, carefully crafted, are hitting your brain every day, convincing you that you need to amp up your own materialism and acquire certain products. And then there's the internet and now the advent of smartphones, which we have now entered an age which is just unprecedented in the history of the world, that in your pocket or in your purse, you have a device that within a number of seconds, anywhere that you are, can call up a picture or a video or information about anything that you want. Things that for most of history, someone could just, like, not even dream up. We can type a few words into Google and then, it's before our eyes. So what are you choosing to use that power for? Like, what is it that you call up through these incredible devices? And what is it that you feast your eyes on and your brain on? What is it that you're soaking in? Is it Miracle Girl? Is it life-giving material? All of this influence, is it something that is just like, it's water for your soul and nutrients for your mind and your heart that causes you to flourish, or is it poison? And I think a lot of us drink poison, don't we? Whether it's through the radio or TV or through the internet or whatever it is, like, or even just company that we keep in our, as we sit and stand and walk, like, are we perhaps drinking some poison? Blessed is the one who does not drink the poison. As we prepare to go into this series on the story in which we're going to be walking through the Bible, I would like to challenge you. Here's a particular challenge. Because what we need to do is we need to make some a place in our heart for something else to be drinking, right? For the Word of God to come in. So my challenge for you is to think about one kind of poison that you're drinking, one kind of influence, anything that I maybe just mentioned, if there's something that's in you that's poison for your heart, for your mind, for your soul, that you know is something that you're drinking in that's causing death within you, would you make the commitment to give it up for the next 9 months? And just say, you know, I'm going to just cut that out of my mind, whether it's sinful or not sinful, you just know that it's poison for yourself. Would you just say, you know what, I'm going to create space for a different kind of water in myself. I'm gonna give up as we go through the story. I just want to think about that and see if you could make a commitment to that. We go on in the story. So blessed is the one who's not drinking the poison by just kind of soaking in that influence of the wicked. But instead, now it flips to the positive side. Blessed is the one who positively does this. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Now, for the psalmist, at their point in history, their point in the story, their scripture is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which is referred to as the law, like or the path, the way of God. For us, we can think of it, I think, as the entire Bible from where we stand in history, where we have the whole of the scripture. And it's not supposed to be just kind of this crushing burden, the law of God, but it's supposed to be something that we can find delight in as a gift of God. Blessed is the one who finds delight in it. Happy is the one who finds happiness in the law of God and who meditates on it day and night. To meditate on something is like to ruminate, to like a cow kind of chewing the cud. Like you're constantly chewing on something. Maybe you've read some scripture in the morning, and then as you're going about your day, as you're driving to work, as you're doing various tasks and chores, as you're doing volunteer repairs in the church facility, you're ruminating on scripture and just, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean for my life? You're blessed is the one who's meditating on it day and night. Blessed is the one who's drinking the good water instead of the poison. Now then it gives us an image. This is just a really strong image that it gives us. The one who is not sitting in the counsel of the wicked, but the one who is delighting the law of the Lord and meditating on it is like this. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Like a person planted by, like a tree planted by streams of water. Not out kind of in a dry place that only gets water when it's a flood, but has this constant stream of water which is soaking in through the roots and coming into through the trunk of the tree and out into leaves and gives life and strength to the entire tree, whose leaf does not wither, When the hot sun comes and is baking other plants, the tree planted by the streams of water has the moisture, the ability to draw in new moisture and stand firm in the summer heat. And a person is like that. If they're not drinking the poison, but instead they're drinking the good water, they're marinating on the scripture, they're meditating on it day and night, then it's like there's life in them. And the summer heat, like the bad times which are going to come to you, they're not going to dry you up. You're going to have life within you, and that's going to allow you to remain steadfast in that hard time. And then also will bear its fruit in season. Now, not instantly, okay, you don't get to, a lot of people, what they do is they're like, I'm going to read the Bible like for 5 minutes, and then I hope my life is totally changed. It doesn't work like that. It works more like a tree planted streams of water, and if you spend a season soaking it in time, in season, you bear fruits. And so I challenge you to, as we read through the Bible together, I challenge you to stay steadfast with it And would you accept as the other part of the challenge to read the story with us, to read the scripture, to walk through the Bible with us as a church, and so you're replacing something that's poison to you with something that's life-giving, and then see at the end of 9 months if you yield fruit. Not after 5 minutes, not after 2 days, but the end of this long season, see if there's fruit there. Now, what is fruit? The fruit of a tree, a fruit like an apple that's going... That's being grown up on a tree. Two things can happen to it. One is maybe it's going to fall to the ground, and its seed's going to get planted in some way, and it's going to grow up and produce another tree. It's going to multiply. And another way that it gives life is it simply is eaten by a person or an animal, and then that kind of goes into and nourishes that other living thing. So the fruit is always something that's going to give life to other beings, and you, if you're someone who's soaking in the Word of God, are not just going to be able to stand up in the summer heat, you're also going to be yielding fruit, which gives life to the people around you. The life which flows into you goes into other people. Amen? Now, that's true for the one who's not drinking the poison and who is soaking in the water of the Word of God. Then we go back to the contrast. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Not so the wicked. Now we have an image in contrast to this, the strong tree that's growing up. We have instead a chaff. Now chaff is in the harvesting of grain. There's a process that they did the winnowing process. They go to the local village threshing floor, and they would take pitchforks, and they would throw the grain up in the air on a windy day. And the more substantial, you know, hardier seeds, the grain would fall back to the ground, but the kind of light little husks would just float away in the wind. And so when it was time for the winnowing, you would just see these clouds of just this light little, you know, thin papery substance just floating away in the wind, meaningless. And the meaning there is that the wicked are lightweights compared to the heavy kind of strength of the seeds, of the grain there. Probably the best equivalent that we see around our town is the leaves, right? In fall, they just fall off. They just fall off, and there's leaves, and they just blow in the wind, and they just all over the place, and they crumble, and it's pretty at first, and then it's just kind of gross. And that's the case with the wicked. They can't stand, it says. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They were standing during the plottings, but they can't stand in the judgment. Nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. When the winnowing happens, there's a separation between the chaff and the wheat. Then in verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The way it reads there, it doesn't say the way of the wicked will be punished in this case, though we have that in other places in Scripture. The way of the wicked simply leads to destruction. This is emblematic of what you see in Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He's talking about the narrow gate and the wide gate, and he says, "A small is the gate and narrow the road which leads to life. Only a few find it, but wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that gate." What we're taught in Scripture is there's simply roads in which we take that lead places. The road in which we are people that are just drinking poison all the time, and we're constantly soaking this into ourselves, this road simply leads to destruction. It leads to death. If I pour this on my plant, it will die. And if you soak it into your heart and soul, you will die. It'll blow up relationships. It'll blow up everything in your life, your relationship with God, your relationship with family members. But the word of life, the word of God, it'll have the natural consequence of life within you that gives life to other people and causes you to stand. So my challenge to you is simply this. Would you pick one poison? Pick your poison to give up, like an extended Lent, okay? Something to give up. As we enter this story, what's one form of poison that you're soaking in? I'm done with that for these 9 months. And then can you commit to soaking in the Word of God on a really regular basis as we read through the story and just soaking it in, see if it doesn't bear fruit in your life? Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your Word. Lord, guard us from poison and give us your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, worship team, for that. How true that is. You know, ancient words, ever true. Boy, when we allow those things to speak into our lives, we can be transformed. So thankful for Matt's message this morning as we rolled back the clock a little bit. And be thinking about how you can spend more time in Scripture. Matt mentioned not a cumulative 5 minutes and looking for great change, but like the stream and the tree planted next to the stream, it has the opportunity to soak that up and it gives life. So might you be able to find a rhythm and routine that during this season speaks into your life in powerful ways that changes not just you, but that will change me as well. So that's my prayer for all of us. So now receive the benediction, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always from this day forward and evermore. Amen.